Brené Brown states that we do not have to be perfect. We just have to be committed and engaged to our values and then our actions. In this episode, my guest, Dayla Haymeyer, and I talk about how we can, one, define values, two, align to them in order to feel more connected, more present, and to, as a way of battling, overcoming, combating people-pleasing and perfectionistic tendencies. In this episode, we also take a deep dive into what some of those perfectionistic and people-pleasing tendencies can look like. And Dayla shares with us many of her examples from her own personal life. Welcome to the Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists podcast. I am Kim Gross, your host, and it is my mission to help you unmask from people pleasing and perfectionistic behaviors so that you can finally have the confidence to live the life that you truly desire. Let's tune in to this week's episode. Welcome, everybody. Today, I have with me Dayla Haymeyer, and I'm going to start with a quote as I normally do. She shared one from one of my favorites, Brené Brown. I love some Brené Brown. So the quote is, we don't have to be perfect, just engaged and committed to aligning values with actions, Brené Brown. Let's start with you sharing with us and telling us a little bit about who you are.
So I actually have a virtual behavioral health private practice, and I also do mindset mentorship virtually from home. And I work that kind of around my kids' schedule, but I have been a therapist for at least 15 years. I think it's a little bit more than that, but I'm not going to do the math right now because that's not my strong suit. I live in mid-Missouri. Yeah, that's kind of me.
So what I want to just dive right in.
Yeah.
Because when you and I had that pre-interview, we talked a little bit about your beginnings of becoming a people pleaser and a perfectionist and how that played out in your life. And there was something that you said that really sat with me since we talked. And I want to really hone in on this part. So I'm going to read it to make sure that I get it right and that you know exactly what I'm talking about. So you said at one point in your life that there was a friction between what you truly wanted and what you truly felt and what others wanted. And you felt in your gut what others wanted was wrong. Like you knew it was wrong because it wasn't what you truly wanted, but you put yourself off to do what the others wanted you to do. And I think that's such a key point. It's such an underpinning to the people pleaser. The people pleaser struggles to set boundaries. The people pleaser can't say no. The people pleaser is always meeting the needs of others. What do you need? What do you want? What are you feeling? Always taking the temperature of the room and censoring what's going on. What can I speak up and say? What does this one feel? Managing everyone's emotions, never tuning in to what she wants, what she desires, what she feels, what she longs for. And I believe that the root cause of that happens when that split happens that you talked about, that split inside. So I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. So I'd like to go back and tell a little bit of just the history of how I feel like my perfectionism came to be just in hindsight, because I have to say, I know when I work with my clients, like sometimes the perfectionism came out of a really negative home environment or trauma or something like that. It became a safety mechanism.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my experience. Mine came more subtle. And I don't hear people talk about that piece as often. So for anyone out there who's, I think I'm a perfectionist, but I didn't have a bad anything or a big traumatic anything, you could still be a perfectionist. It it could have come from a good place and it just got twisted over time. And that's what I feel like happened with me. I'm the oldest of four kiddos and I'm the only daughter of three brothers. And so I think naturally I just fell into that little bit of that role of like just being helpful. And I got a lot of praise and acknowledgement when I did really well, right? So if I got all A's on the report card, I can remember vividly my parents coming up the stairs and into my room and they were being silly and making all of this big celebration. And we're like, you got all A's and here's 20. And my dad says, do it again next semester and or next quarter and there'll be more where that came from. And I just remember feeling so filled up and just like really wonderful. And I feel like maybe that's where it started to become consciously a perfectionism thing. If I really think about it, I was always that little kid in class that didn't want to raise her hand because I thought I should already know the answer before I was even taught the thing. Mm-hmm. Or I felt really bad if I didn't do well on a worksheet. And I never got any feedback at home that would say that was not okay. So I just somewhat, I don't know if it's genetic or what, but it was in there. And that continued all the way through grade school, junior high school, college even, and then well into even my career. And I have to say, I feel really fortunate that the career I took, I think is right for me. But I know that I started down that path as a way to please others. So it's fortunate that it came together. But I know that's not everyone's, that's not a lot of people's story. So there's that whole go to high school, get your degree, go to college, get married, have some kids, get your wonderful career, right? Grow, go through the ranks, check, check, check. And somewhere in that, like the 30, my 30, 35 year range, it started to crush me. Mm-hmm. It started to suffocate me. I started to have episodes of depression on a regular basis. And I had always struggled with anxiety all of my life, but the depression was somewhat new to me and it was coming just more and more regularly. And I was getting incredibly burnt out and none of my normal strategies. When you go to school as a therapist, there's class after class on burnout and what to do. And none of it was working, not at least for any length of time. And I remember at some point sitting with my husband and going, I know I'm supposed to be a therapist, but I got married and we had a family so that I could be a wife and a mom. And I don't have anything left over to do those things because of my job. So I'd found myself in this position of this really great job, but I think I strove for it because externally, everyone was like, wow, you're doing that. You're working from there. You're helping that kind of person. So that's when I started to really struggle with, okay, I know what I feel inside. I want my family time, having energy to be a present wife and attentive mother. It's having time to go and do things with friends. Those are my super important pillars in my life. Mm-hmm. And by the time evening came or weekends came, all I could do was recover for the next day of work. So I was putting in the bare minimum and I just thought, this isn't really sitting right for me.
So is that when, because going back to what I was sharing earlier, that there was friction. Is that part of that friction where like you were originally trying to do it because maybe even for the external validation, like you said, like you had the job and people were like, oh my gosh, like you work there, you're doing this job. And it was a stroke. It was like you getting the $20 for your straight A's. And so there is this, right? There's this expectation out there of what you should continue to do, but you said you were feeling crushed mm-hmm. on the inside. Is that a little bit of what you meant about the friction? Yeah,
Yeah, that friction I feel like came in, okay, what I'm doing for a living is meaningful for me and it is important to me, but it became prioritized to a point that like all of the other things that were really important to me, I didn't have any time or energy for. So I had a lot of trouble in that. There was a time that I thought, should I just not be a therapist anymore and do something else so that I can have more mental and emotional energy for these other things over here that are important to me? But that didn't feel right either. So there was a lot of, okay, I value all of these things in my life. I don't want to blow my life up exactly in order to achieve these other things. But I knew the way that I was doing it, it was impossible for me to give in the areas that I wanted to give or pour energy into if I kept going the way that I was going in my professional life. There was also a part of me that was like, but this was what was expected of you. Again, you know, you go to college, you get a degree, and then you work in a field with that degree. Like that was that message externally from society in general. That was somewhat of a family message, all with good intentions, but I was like, oh, I think I need to shift something, but what will everyone think if I
shift
things?
Will
I still be will I still be achieving that bar that I've set for myself if I come back off of this professional trajectory?
I think you're raising a really important point, which is that I think there's so much pressure on moms and women. There's just pressure on people in general. Let's just face it. In our society today, teens, young adults, it's crazy the amount of pressure that's on them. But right now, for a moment, I just want to talk about the pressure on moms that are trying to have a career, raise a family, do the whole path, like you said, the high school, the college, the job, the perfect life, and to do all those things, the things perfectly, right? That's where it comes in. And to manage all of that and to somehow not expect to feel burnout, to have this expectation to do all that perfectly and not to feel burned out. We're set up for that. Like society sets us up for that.
And then there's all this additional guilt of, I've worked so hard for these things. I have these things. They're all really great, but I don't feel necessarily content. Something feels off. I can't feel happy or connected or engaged.
Let's talk about that a little bit more then. So maybe here you're putting on your therapist hat for a moment. So what is it that you think does cause, or let's say, so we have all that burnout and everything else. And then you just said, it's so hard to feel connected, to feel present. And let's say that the person starts to disassociate, nothing feel, you can't feel the joy of looking at a sunset. You can't feel the connection or the joy to hugging your child. Mm-hmm. You don't feel the joy or the connection to, I don't know, dancing, singing, and you just feel completely disassociated. What do you think is going on there?
Yeah, putting aside that there's any more kind of like acute, like a diagnosable, like major depressive or generalized anxiety, something like that. And if anyone comes to work with me, either in my coaching or in my behavioral health, in my therapy practice, we're always looking at, is there a diagnosable thing going on first and foremost, right? The people who, they don't have the big major anything, but they still are experiencing this disconnection, this discontent. They have found themselves living disconnected from what's really important to them, like intentionally living out what is what they value, their core values. So, you know, they come to me and say, when I ask them, what's important to you? They make a list, right? And then I say, okay, tell me what you actually do day to day, week to week, month to month. And those lists don't match.
Yes, why not? Why don't they match? I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I just feel like it's, again, it's because, especially if you're a perfectionist, it's, at least in my experience, it's been because I tend to put other people's values above mine. And that's not a bad thing. I would say one of my core values is to be a helper.
Yeah.
But I would prioritize that so much higher than anything else. Like, I wouldn't allow for me to have energy for anything else. There's that saying out there that, or at least this belief, right? We can do everything. We can do it all. Yeah, I agree. We can do everything, but not at the same time. So maybe there's a season where it's really important to pour into one part of your core values more than the others, but that doesn't mean we neglect all of the others. Or if it starts to, when people find themselves, when I found myself feeling more and more discontent, that was my sign. You need to withdraw some energy from that helper mode and pour it into some of these other values of yours.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I love what you're saying, because it is true, when we align with our core values, that it brings a sense of energy and fulfillment. Yeah. Because my two, and I know Brené Brown talks about this in one of her books, you can have many values, but your core values are really like two or three things that you actually live and carry out. So my two core values are connection and growth. And every time that I'm doing a podcast and I'm connecting, I just told you today, you're my number fourth podcast of the day, but I'm so energized because I'm connecting all day. And on top of that, I'm talking about topics that are about personal freaking growth. So it's like doing this podcast is like such, it's for me, people.
Really,
it's
a fills win-win. You up. Yeah.
It fills me up because I'm doing my core values. I do agree with that for sure. What are your thoughts just on mindset? Because I've been also lately watching and listening to a lot of Joe Dispenza. And there's so many researchers and teachers out there that talk about your thoughts and how much your thoughts can impact your reality, or past events can play out in your present reality, or if you're futurizing, how that can impact your, and you're not in the present moment. So, and if we want to feel alive, if we want to feel abundant, we want to feel joy, we want to feel good, then we have to be in the present moment. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how much would you agree with that mindset?
Yeah, I agree with it. It's, gosh, it's simply said, but not easily practiced by any means. We are just wired to consider the past and think about the future. And we're just moving through that little tiny space of like present moment without a whole lot of consciousness. But, and that's, I'd say that's okay to some extent. We have to anticipate what's happening next. Especially since we're just, or we have been primarily talking about working moms, and that's who I work with a lot. We're anticipating a lot of things and planning not only the next meal, but also what the rest of the week looks like, and probably a month from that day at the very least. And we also need to consider what happened in the past, because that keeps us safe. Mm-hmm. We don't want to keep repeating things that maybe were harmful. And we definitely want to repeat things that were joyful or really helpful or healing. We want to keep that and stuff in mind. Presentness, so that doesn't have to happen every second of our day. It would be lovely if we were always present-minded, but then we'd probably be monks. They might be the only people on the planet who can afford to really just concentrate on being very mindful and present in the moment. But I think that it's important that we take some time frequently to just sit and be with ourselves.
Yeah.
Pay attention to physically, how are we feeling emotionally? But certainly I know in my own experience, as I became more and more discontent with things, and I was very baffled by it because it it was not something that I saw coming. The more I sat with myself, which was really hard and really scary, and I did not want to do it a lot. But something about exercise forced me into it. And that's where I started to come to this awareness of, oh, this is why you're not feeling like you thought you would or how you used to anymore. You've just come out of alignment with what's truly important to you. Then the big question mark was, how do you get back to it? But, or how do you get to it at all if you've never even been there?
Let's explore a little bit, because that's, we started the podcast with the quote, and I'll read it again just to come back to it, because then that will bring everything we've been talking about full circle. So Brené Brown says, we don't have to be perfect, just engaged and committed to aligning values with actions. And what you're suggesting here is that to help as a tool or a skill to help feel more aligned, more present, better sense of well-being, mental health, is to be more in alignment with your values. So first of all, it is first about defining what are your values, right? That's the first step. Like, you can't align if you don't know what they are. Maybe if you could break it down for the listeners, just in terms of like where to start with identifying values, and then how do you come back to them if you're feeling out of whack?
Yeah. So I actually have a couple of resources that I would love to pass along. Yes. I'll send those to you. One is just a very general, what are your potential core values based on your personality?
Yeah.
And it's a comprehensive list. So not all of them are going to be suited for you, and they shouldn't be. We, as you said before, your real true core values are 2, 3, 5, maybe if you're pushing it, right? And those are going to be the things that even when it's difficult, you still get a sense of, it still fills you up. You still get a positive sense in some way, even though it's taking a little bit of effort or it's just tricky to do, right? So even in the turmoil, that still feels right. The big trick then is looking at all of the areas of your life. So that's my second resource that I'd like to send to you, because it's basically a compass. And it breaks your life into a bunch of different pie pieces, essentially. And in each piece, you start to define 3 to 5-ish general, what's the word I'm looking for? Like benchmarks based around those core values. So it, because there are statements like, I do X, Y, and Z this often. And then when you read that off to yourself, if you're like, no, I'm not doing that at all, then you're going to rate that as a 0%. Or if you're doing it 100%, you'll rate it all the way up to 100. And then you have 5 of those. So it helps you start to see, in that area of my life, how far off am I from my core values, from living in an actionable way? And we want those to be pretty small, at least in the beginning, and small, especially if you're shifting from lots of 0% into even just becoming engaged or aligned. Just a little bit makes a big difference. It really creates a lot of traction really quickly.
First of all, thank you so much for sharing the resources. So we really did talk a lot about a lot of different things. And I love the idea of values. If you're feeling like you're off course, if you're feeling like things aren't just clicking, you're not clicking on all cylinders, certainly one thing to look at for sure is your values and if you're in alignment with that, and that your worksheets will be very helpful for that. And then the other thing that we talked about too is just seeing, taking a look at your thoughts, your mindset. If you are playing out the perfectionist and people pleaser pattern, 80% of the time, 70% of the time, you're going to feel pretty shitty. You're going to feel pretty shitty, because we already talked about some of those things in this episode. You're putting everybody else's needs ahead of your own. You can't set boundaries. You can't say no. If you can't do something perfectly, you don't do it at all. You have this tremendous pressure on yourself to do everything right all the time. And it's relentless. Those types of behaviors, those types of thought patterns, because that's what they are, thought patterns, you are going to have so much stress hormone going off in your body that you are going to feel crappy. You are going to feel exhausted and burned out and unfulfilled and lacking joy, lacking presence. There's no way you could feel good. I would say to my listeners and people, or people that are listening to this, if you're wondering if you're a people pleaser or perfectionist, please take my quiz on my website, my perfectionist people pleasing quiz, and let me know if you need help, or even, I'm sure even daily, you can help in your practice as well with somebody who is struggling with either or. Reach out and talk to someone if you are feeling like you are stuck or caught in these patterns and begin to unhook and unravel. Yeah. Any last thoughts for you?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And no, I feel like perfectionism and people pleasing is so isolating and lonely, because admitting that is so against what we would ever, right? Because we're perfectionists, we can't admit that we're struggling. So we feel very alone and isolated in that. Yeah, sort out, do I have these tendencies? And know that the mindset piece is, it's ongoing. I think a lot of us recovering perfectionists, we purposefully say recovering.
Yes.
Because that means it is a growth, progress. It's always, we're always having to work on it. Yeah. But it can get easier.
I was going to say, and I would say that in my experience, that while I still am recovering and those tendencies can still show up, they show up, first of all, maybe less and less, but when they do, I catch it much more quickly. I know what to do to transform it. I have more joy. I have more peace. I have more freedom. I have more alignment, everything, because I am working with the patterns. And now I also see that they're just patterns. They're no longer me. It used to be me. I was so attached to and internalizing that this was who I was, but now I'm detached. Oh, there's that perfectionistic tendency showing up. Oh, there's that people pleaser mask showing up. So it doesn't make me feel the shame that I used to feel before, because now I know it's just a pattern. It's not who I am.
Yeah. It's a trait, not your personality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This has been such an amazing conversation. I really appreciate it. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me at dhmentorship.com. Or let's see, my email is there. My contact is there. Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Dayla_Haymeyer.
Love it. Such an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. This was wonderful. I really appreciate it.
You are welcome. So thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Masks Off. I'm Kim Grosch, your host, and I will see you next week.